I'm rolling.
We will call our regular council meeting of April 26, 2018 to order at 7 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Councilwoman Laura Lenz.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
President Nancy E. Fellows. Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
And Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
I would entertain a motion to excuse our Council President Nancy Fellows. She's shared that she's ill tonight.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilman Fiebig, a motion by Councilman Pijmo, and a second by Councilman Fiebig. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hollum?
Yes.
The motion carries. I would also entertain a motion to elect a vice president pro tem for tonight's meeting. Given our council president's absence, I will serve as president pro tem.
Mr. President.
Madam Councilwoman Micah.
I'd like to make a motion to nominate Dave Fiebig for vice president pro tem.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilwoman Micah and a second by Councilwoman Pijmo to nominate Councilman Fiebig as vice president pro tem for tonight's meeting. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hollum?
Yes.
The motion carries. Congratulations, Mr. Fiebig. You are vice president pro tem for the evening. Speaking of Mr. Fiebig, the first item on our agenda is the presentation of two resolutions to honor our police officers for the City of Willoughby Hills. Resolution number 2018-2, recognizing Willoughby Hills Police Sergeant Matthew Nagley on his achievement of graduation from the FBI National Academy. And resolution number 2018-3, recognizing the heroic actions taken by police officers Craig Anderson and Corey Planasek in the line of duty for the classic BMW crisis. So I would ask Councilman Fiebig to come forward to present the resolutions.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I please ask for Sergeant Nagley to step forward to accept our resolution? Ladies and gentlemen, Sergeant Nagley of our police force here in Willoughby Hills attended an FBI National Academy in December of 2017, and this was something that he did along with 221 other officers around the nation. And participating in this FBI training is something that is certainly well known for its academic excellence, the 11 weeks of advanced leadership, communications, and fitness training that you go through. Certainly are something that benefits the community and certainly yourself as well. I really want to express to you that when I read this, that the session included a yellow brick road, a 6.1-mile obstacle course through a hilly wooded area built by the Marines, and along the way you have to climb over walls, run through creeks, jump through simulated windows, scale rock fences with ropes, crawl under barbed wire in muddy water, maneuver across a cargo net, and much, much more. These things are show that you have the physical ability, and not only that, but the intellect and the leadership skills that were developed over this time. So on behalf of City Council and behalf of a grateful community, we wanted to recognize you with this resolution that says that we recognize you on this outstanding achievement in graduating in the 270th session of the FBI National Academy, and thank you for your commitment, your dedication, and your hard work.
Councilman. I appreciate it. I'm not going to take too much away for the real reason we're here tonight, to honor Officer Anderson and Officer Planisek. I would like to say a couple words, though. 3 days before I left for the FBI National Academy was when the incident occurred over at Classic. For our entire department, I would venture to say that it's something that's going to, you know, stay at the forefront of our minds for the rest of our careers. And I can't even begin to say what it means for, you know, Craig and Corey, having gone through it themselves. Chief Collins, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to go to the FBI National Academy. Chief Collins has always supported his officers above and beyond anything that I could ever ask for, and I'm sure all the officers at the Willoughby Hills Police Department would say the same. He's always invested so much into developing officers at every level of the department. He continues to do so, and I'm very thankful for it. Thank you.
Well said. And now may I ask for Officers Planisek and Anderson, please, to step forward. Right here, please. You know, this is coming up on National Police Week, so I think it's an appropriate point in time that nationally we're recognizing our officers for outstanding duty to our community each and every day. But on this particular day, we had two officers in the city of Willoughby Hills that responded, as they do all the time, to a call for some trouble. And knowing full well that any one of these calls at any time that they can get could result in this type of activity and this type of bad behavior from people out in the community, but you dealt with it, you came through it. We're so proud of you. We want to recognize you as a formal resolution from City Council for your outstanding bravery in the face of such adversity, and to let you know that as a community, Willoughby Hills is very proud of you. We read this entire resolution, so it was read into the record, so I won't read it again right now, but I will highlight a couple of the points that you pursued the suspect. You tackled him, you pulled a handgun from his waistband and began firing it at both of you, and you were hit multiple times. And despite that, you still continued pursuit. You still continued to control the situation. And without your heroic events, the threat to the employees and to the public was very significant. You managed that so well for us. It's an extraordinary manner in which Officers Craig Anderson and Corey Planisek performed their duties, and it demonstrated your enduring commitment to serving and protecting our community, which is what police officers do. As a son and a grandson of police officers, I grew up with that mindset. I know that that you bring that to your work every day, and just the City Council of Willoughby Hills, along with the administration, wanted to recognize you in a formal way, and we're very proud of the service that you've done, Officers Anderson and Planisek. So therefore, the Council of the City of Willoughby Hills hereby recognizes the heroic actions taken by Officers Craig Anderson and Corey Planisek, and want to extend its appreciation to both officers for their exemplary service to our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Councilman Fiebig, and thanks again to our officers. With that, we will proceed with our regular meeting of council, and I thank everyone once again for joining us for this momentous occasion when we take a small moment to recognize the heroic actions of Officers Anderson and Planisek, as well as the hard work of Sergeant Nagley, all for the same purpose of keeping our residents in Willoughby Hills and across Lake County safe. So the next item on our agenda, a little less exciting, is the disposition of the journal. Do I have a motion to approve the regular council meeting minutes of March 22nd, 2018?
Motion to accept the regular council meeting minutes of March 22nd, 2018.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilwoman Pijmo and a second from Councilwoman Janet Mica to accept the regular council meeting minutes of March 22nd, 2018. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Lenz?
Yes.
Mica?
Yes.
Pijmo?
Yes.
Lesnick?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hollum?
Abstain.
The motion carries and the minutes are adopted. The next item on our agenda is correspondence, specifically looking to ordinance number 2018-22 and whether or not to override the mayor's veto. Do we have a motion with respect to the ordinance and the veto?
Mr. President.
Mr. Fiebig.
Move that council override. Council set aside the veto on ordinance 2018-22.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from, I think, Councilwoman Pijmo. I think Jeopardy rules. She beat you to it. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, clerk, please call the roll.
Lenz?
Yes.
Mica?
Yes.
Pijmo?
Yes.
Lesnick?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hollum?
No.
The motion to set aside the mayor's veto carries. The next item on our agenda is the mayor's report. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Good evening. I would like to take this time to update and recap the residents on the recent events that affect their lives in Willoughby Hills. I hope since I missed the last council meeting due to a pre-planned community commitment, which I advised council prior to, they will afford me the time to convey this important message. First, let me state that on April 2nd, a judgment came down from Lake County Common Pleas Court calling council's action to appointment of Stephen Byron as acting law director unlawful and illegal. Further, the court acknowledged that I was the mayor and I have the sole authority to appoint the law director, acting or permanent, that needs council confirmation. I emailed every council member asking for 4 recommendations. This was 3 weeks ago. Without a council response or even a respectful acknowledgement of my email, and in their public meeting, then Councilman, specifically Councilman Fiebig, challenged me to preside somebody to present to council to handle all of our pressing legal concerns. He insisted that I did do it with haste, with post haste. I accepted the challenge, and 7 days ago, I presented Attorney James O'Leary as a candidate to fill this position. Mr. O'Leary agreed to accept the position for $4,500 per month on a retainer with no additional billable hours. This represents less than half of what council proposed to pay Ms. Byron. I have yet to hear from council, and I'm disappointed that it's not on tonight's agenda, or a special meeting was not called before tonight. I want the residents to know that I have done my due diligence in securing a fine candidate in Mr. O'Leary and council, and a time sooner than later. This will allow us to move forward with many legal concerns and prohibit any further legal unlawful actions from taking place. Next, I wish to explain the consequences of the passage of 2018-13 and 2018-19, which calls for the elimination of 8 of 11 union administrative positions at City Hall, leaving only the police chief secretary and the fire chief secretary and our CSO officer. By legislation, all others either gone or reduced to part-time hours. These are union positions, which means no one else can come do their jobs. The clerk of courts and building department secretaries have been cut to part-time, which much of their work in respect to their departments to be able to get the job done on a part-time basis. These departments, therefore, will be closed and no one here to staff them. With Mayor's Court, all, as you may have read in the News Herald article, all current cases are being referred to Willoughby Municipal Court with the loss of income to the city of Willoughby Hills. This has a substantial impact on our budget, which now has already become unbalanced, and we need to look at ways to make up the income. I'm anxious to hear Council's plan for this. If this dilemma is put on me as mayor, my only suggestion is to bring the workers back. Next, our community center poses another challenge as a result of council's actions. Council eliminated the part-time clerk stenographer in the recreation department and six property staff members who monitored events, do the setups, and clean the rooms for rentals. This leaves absolutely no one to tend the building. I have no option but to close the building, with the exception of the library, which they will open and close the building in their hours. We have the task in the next few days of notifying all classes, parties, and weddings that the facility will not be available until council decides to bring the workers back. On Monday, a wall will be constructed blocking off the lobby area from the rest of the building, which will not allow entrance to the rooms. I have arranged to have the building's locks changed. I understand we take the risk for lawsuits from irate renters who have contracts for their events and classes. However, as safety director, I don't want to see renters to be in the building and have an emergency that can be handled by trained staff. I've spoken with the Lake County Board of Elections and understand our obligation by state law to utilize the building as a polling place. With this in mind, the union has agreed to the Lake County elections to use the building on Tuesday, May the 8th, bringing voters into the room in a different manner, and only the Orion room without use of the kitchen or the back entrance. Once the voting is over, the room will be locked until this council decides to bring the workers back. The board and commissions will be without a clerk until the council decides to bring the workers back. With the layoffs at City Hall, there will be a time there's only one part-time finance director and a full-time full-time assistant finance director. They will be responsible for regular positions and trying to assist visitors, callers to the building on a very limited basis. There is no one to update the website or WHTV, so that will not be done. The police chief and the fire chief secretaries will be retained in their departments by union contract, but may be put on assignment to assist in the task of the finance department for up to 28 days, but they can't perform their job and the finance job. Before council made the drastic budget decision to lay off staff, I assume they reviewed the contract and know the consequences. I am anxious to hear how they're going to deal with the crisis of no one manning City Hall. On Tuesday, I met with a union representative who presented a grievance to me, basically outlining council's actions, which they defined as union busting. In addition, they explained the formation of part-time positions were not lawful. The city's finance records indicate there is no just cause for these layoffs. They point out, aside from targeting a class of administrative employees dominated by female employees, there are no cuts from police, fire, and service, which are predominantly male employees. The union reviewed the contract with me, which outlines provisions for layoffs and recalls. Part-time workers are the last, are the first to be laid off, the last to be recalled, which means this community center issue will last to resolve, unfortunately for our renters who have contract commitments. The union is now proceeding to step three of the grievance procedure, which is arbitration. This means the city will incur expenses for this resolution. Once a law director is appointed, we can make a recommendation for legal representation pertaining to union activity. Again, council has the authority to end this by bringing our workers back. The union representative also advised me that the union has filed an unfair labor practice, or UOP, which will be heard by the State Employment Relations Board. This could allow all positions to be reinstated, giving all employees full back pay. We will wait for a hearing date that is assigned. I presented my budget balanced, which did not include any staffing cuts. My budget also made provisions for part-time firefighters, which we have done routinely long before Lieutenant Sarazin took over as acting fire chief. Council should begin by putting the resident first and making the city services that they deserve once again available rather than forcing them to close the doors. This should get our residents a good idea what to expect over the next several weeks or months. In closing for my report tonight, I want to congratulate the officers here tonight. I want to applaud their dedication and bravery. I send get well wishes to the 12-year-old son of our finance worker who underwent heart surgery today, with his mother losing her job and benefits next week. I want to congratulate the husband of our building and service department worker who completed his third bout of chemotherapy as his wife's position is reduced to part-time and experienced benefit deletion. I wanted to thank my BZA PCR ABR recreation clerk for timely minutes for her commission. I want to thank my court staff for pointing out that the News Herald article only brought about the court loss of income, but my staff was more concerned about the drivers who need to come to our court to get their driving privileges back. I want to encourage our fine students who serve as community center monitors to keep the faith. We will get through this because they need their $9 job, an hour jobs to pay for college. And finally, on the administrative assistant week, I wish to thank my own administrative assistant who does an outstanding job, not just for me, but for the city. When her salary was scrutinized, and we sit here tonight to watch council approve a $37,000 grant she received to enhance the city's public buildings. please know that I appreciate you all are people, not positions, and that I'll lead our city to get through this turmoil because you're all worth it, and I value each and every one of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Any questions for the mayor tonight? Seeing no questions, our next item is the finance director's report. Mr. Berkachek?
The thing that I have to report tonight is I learned this week that the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation has announced another round of premium refunds. There'll be a refund based on the 2016 premium year. I don't have a final figure yet. As I understand it, that should be announced in mid-May. But based on the information that I do have, we're estimating that it'll be in the range of $40,000 to $80,000.
Thank you. We certainly look forward to hearing the final number. Any questions for our finance director this evening? Seeing none, the next order of business is our city engineer's report. Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to mention that I'm working with the street superintendent, Mark Rubis, to address a slope failure along the Chagrin River on Dodd Road, just east of Milan Drive. We're researching the options, and we'll present a plan when we have one. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions for our city engineer this evening? Very good. So the next item of business are council committee reports. Would any council committees like to share a report with us this evening?
Mr. President.
Mr. Hallam.
Just wanted to inform council, from the previous recreation committee meeting, we were looking into the MOU with the Boys League. And I did call around several of the other cities around us. They all have 501(c)s that manage some or part or all of their programs. However, none of them provide insurance for those groups. So I investigated a little further, and the Boys League thinks that that may have started when the city started getting involved in collection of the funds, that there was some reasoning for the city having to provide the insurance as a result of that. They couldn't really remember for sure. However, they're going to discuss at their next meeting if they can just cover themselves under insurance and just have an agreement with the city to provide fields and maintain the fields and take out the money as they already have, as well as taking responsibility for their own insurance. So they're supposed to be meeting in about 3 weeks to vote on that, and then they'll come back to us with an updated MOU again. So they ask that we bear with them as they go through and make sure they're doing the right things for the league as well as the city.
Thank you. Any other council committee reports?
Mr. President, we've announced two committee meetings for May 10th prior to our next council meeting at 6 o'clock. There was a Planning and Zoning Committee meeting of council, and I believe Personnel Relations at 6:30 also announced. So prior to our next meeting, May 10th, we'll have those two committee meetings.
Very good. Any other council representative reports this evening? Well, hearing none, the next item of business is our public portion. This is an opportunity for members of the public to come forward, make a comment, ask a question. We do not engage in debate or conversation during public portion, but members of council and administration have the opportunity to respond in unfinished business. If we know the answer to your question, we usually do our best to answer it. If we don't, we sometimes have to do our research to get back to you. I will repeat our real council president's admonishment to all of us that public portion is an opportunity for the public to share their thoughts. We want people to feel safe and welcome in doing so, so please be respectful. And before you give your comments, state your name and address. You'll have 3 minutes to address council and your peers. So I will open public portion now at 7:29 p.m.
Good evening, everyone. Dave Nicktine, 35771 Maple Grove Road. Mr. Plechnik, after the public portion on April 12th, you made comments about Election Day, November 7th, 2017. Let's set the record straight, as witnessed by Councilman Fiebig, Councilman Pismo, and citizen Greg McCarthy. I introduced myself to you, and you said, I know you. I said, John, I would like to ask you why you spent over $80,000 for a $6,000 a year council seat. You walked away from me. I replied, John, don't walk away from me. I want to talk to you about this. You went and got your mother and brought your mother over to me and introduced her. She said, my son is honest and he has integrity. I replied to your mother, ma'am, this does not concern you. It concerns your son. Your son does not know what honesty and integrity are. Would you like to reply?
Mr. Nicktine, as I've shared,
that,
this is not an opportunity for debate.
With that, Councilman Fabig took out his cell phone and called the chief of police and said, Chief, you better get policemen over here. There's an unruly citizen. Correct? That's correct. He's shaking his head. John Plechnik, I speak the truth. I speak with conviction, feeling, and emotion. You nor anyone else has to fear me. You have to fear itself. You are interested only in your own personal and political ambitions. Citizens of Willoughby Hills, if you want the truth, tune in Councilman Chris Hallam's comments on the Voice of Willoughby Hills and the Willoughby Hills community page. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nicktine. Anyone else for public portion this evening?
My name is Tony Miller, and I live at 2875 Hayes Drive. First of all, I'd like to thank the council for their resolutions to the fire or to the police department, and I would like to thank the police and the fire department and all the members that were here for their service every day. Thank you very much. And the one other thing that I would like to address, although I have pages, is that this came off of a Facebook page. The city is currently without a law director due to the negligence of the mayor to appoint only one rejected applicant since the September resignation of the former director, who then sued the city and lost his case, demanding taxpayers pay for his indemnity over the potential malpractice claim. Not having legal counsel is troubling. As was noted in the Recreation Committee meeting just prior to the regular council meeting, a city has numerous legal issues and needs competent, impartial advice, unquote. And that was off of Mr. Fiebig's Facebook page. And for every meeting prior to this one that I've been attending or listening to on TV or on the TV, I have heard many of you criticize and condemn the mayor for not putting forth a person. He has one. 7 days ago, he presented one to you. You've said it's an emergency. It's critical. We need this every single meeting. And yet we have one, and the issue is not on the agenda. So it must not be as important as you all have made it out to be. I'm confused. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Because you've made such a big stink and such a big deal that it's so important. Really?
Are you okay, Mr. Miller?
I don't get it. Just your facial expression, Mr. Plechnik, every single meeting is degrading to not only me, to the mayor, to the citizens of this community. It's just smug. It's inappropriate for a council member.
Mr. Miller, I'll remind you not to attack any member of council.
I am not attacking you. I am making an observation and giving you my opinion. And again, if it's that important, y'all should be acting on it now, right now, today.
As important Your 3 minutes as you are up, Mr. Miller. It,
you need to act on it today.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Anyone else for public portion this evening?
I'm going to adjust this just a little bit. Joyce Grady, 3020 Markham Boulevard, Willoughby Hills. I have been watching this council and the mayor, and I must tell you that, first of all, respect is earned, not given. Secondly, I'd like to state the fact that I am very upset, not with the mayor, but with council and your inability to work together to keep our city functioning as a city. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grady. Anyone else for public portion this evening?
Yeah, my name is Henry Rebo. I live at 2805 Bishop Road. I live right next door to Dunkin' Donuts. You and the chief of police don't want to seem to do anything about the illegal turns that all these cars are doing. It's $35 for a legal turn. It's $105 because it's a moving violation. That's $140, and there's over 100 cars every day that go in and out of that place illegally. And your officers sit up at Sears, they sit over at that Eddie's Bike Shop and do nothing. I've seen them behind the guys that make the turns and won't do a thing. I seen 2 years ago a little girl get off the school bus by Bishop Park. Paper blew out of her hands, and because the guy had to go get a cup of coffee, he went by the school bus, turned into the donut shop, and almost hit the girl. And still nothing is done. What is the problem? Why are you not doing this? The Wycliffe Police Department, they stopped the people from coming the freeway and started writing out tickets. Guess what? Nobody makes illegal turns over there. How come? Can you give me an answer why the officers are not writing tickets out to these guys? They can see 2,000 yards across the freeway and give out a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt that's 2.5 inches wide, but yet they can't see a 2-ton car 500 feet away making a wrong turn. And if I come down here on 91 by the animal hospital and go the wrong way, you better believe there'll be somebody there after me. I just want to know what's going on before somebody gets killed up there. These little kids, they get off the bus, they don't know what they're doing. These people are so in torture getting a cup of coffee, it's crazy. So you guys, can you tell me why?
We'll look into it.
I'm sorry, but you told me that a year and a half ago.
I'll get the chief to issue tickets and sit there if they have to.
Do you realize that's over $392,000 a month in revenue? Just from 100 cars, and there's more than 100 that do it every day. And now I was talking to the mailman, and he's telling me there's drug dealings going on over there, too, that he says you guys are aware of. And it's like something's got to be done over there. I mean, it's someone's going to get killed. Someone is definitely going to get killed.
We'll address.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for public portion this evening?
Doris Dodge, 37881 Milan Drive. In regards to Mr. Plechnik and what you're spending on your campaign, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, I spent about $15,000 on my cat because she had heart disease and glaucoma and congenital cataracts. It's my money, it's my business. Just as whatever you spend, it's your money, your business. You're not doing anything illegal. I didn't do anything illegal in spending the money on my cat. I did also look on the Willoughby Hills community page on the Facebook, and Mr. Hallam did state that those of us who vote at the community center would not be able to vote because it was going to be locked. So I wanted to know which way it really is. And also, last issue is, when will there be an American flag flown across the street at the War Memorial in the entrance to the community center?
Thank you. Anyone else for public portion this evening?
Vicki Miller, 2857 Hayes Drive. My question really concerns the Whisper program. We're coming into the time of year where a lot of residents are usually helped through that with their yard cleanup or whatever. And since you guys have set aside that to look into it, I just want to know what you have found and if there's anything. I'd love to talk to you about it, if there's anything the public can do in, again, providing that service to the people. Also, just as far as it concerns me about losing the staff here. I've been in many situations where staff cuts are, and this is above and beyond severe to what work is performed in this building. Just to leave a part-time finance director and a part-time assistant finance director to run everything on this side, it seems to be impossible. I was kind of thinking about an analogy today, and it kind of was like saying, okay, we only have so much power to go around because electronics, you know, your internet and TV and entertainment is so important. Okay, you can only provide electric to these items now, so you need to unplug your refrigerator, your stove, your, you know, other things that you use, washer and dryer, dishwasher, and, you know, go back to old ways of doing this. And at the same time, being that, you know, it's going to take a lot more work to feed your kids and take care of the household. Any of you that have two incomes, you need to drop one of them to take care of all these extra tasks that you need to do. So I just ask you, have you really thought about what the ramifications of this is as far as loss of income? There is loss of incomes. I know tonight you have a grant that's on the agenda. The major grant writer is now no longer going to be employed by the city. Just these things are very concerning to me to see that loss of income from the community center and from grants. Thank you very much.
Anyone else for public portion?
Hi, Jenna Bing, 36951 Beach Hills Drive. I was going to come here today and hope that we, and state that I hope that we're being very, very creative in dealing with a more limited staff and trying to meet everybody's needs. Because I support that we cut the staff because of the budget needs. I don't want to run a deficit budget, and I really think it's important that our roads and our police and all of that are there more so than a real heavy staff. And so I was very chagrined when I hear what the mayor is saying because, you know, like we're going to close down Mayor's Court. We have a clerk, I think it got appropriated, a part-time clerk of court, which is 25 hours per week. I mean, Mayor's Court doesn't meet that often. So I don't understand why it has to be maybe scaled back, maybe done more efficiently, maybe there's something that can be done that's a little more creative. And the same time, when you're like closing the whole building over there and having to tell all these people you can't have your baby shower and wedding, we have a part-time recreation coordinator for 29 hours. Most of the stuff is there. And so, I mean, it's appropriated for, and maybe you haven't hired somebody, but I would hope that you would try and hire into these positions. I mean, 29 hours a week, it's mostly on the weekend, so there's like 8 hours a day, there's 16, maybe do a Friday or one of those days with classes. Surely you can find somebody who wants a part-time job and be able to do that, even if it's not somebody that we had as full-time. I understand the full-time people may not want to take a part-time job. I got it. But I'd be out there hiring as fast as you can, because there is, my understanding is, there's money appropriated to cover this stuff, and that would allow that building to be open, and it would allow some of your Mayor's Court stuff to be done. I just don't get it. I really don't understand why you're not being more creative. And basically, if you like say, shut everything down or else, you know, and that's it, then you're never going to get, you got to have people working and say, look, we tried it. How it didn't work for this reason. I need this many more man hours to be able to get this taken care of. But if you don't have that, you're never going to do it. And we've just shut, you just shut the city down forever. Because you got to make a case for why you need more than what was appropriated. Stuff was appropriated, And I would hope that you would actually be very creative in figuring out how to deal with it within those constraints. I mean, it's rough cutting people. It's really rough. I've been left behind when they cut half a staff, and it's no fun. But you don't shut down a whole company. You just keep on going and get as much done as you can. So really chagrined to hear that was the plan, is just shut everything. Really think that needs to be rethought, given that there was some part-time positions appropriated with fairly decent part-time hours behind it.
Thank you. Anyone else for public portion this evening?
Linda Fulton, 2990 Markham Boulevard. Anybody that gets the News Herald read the article on the front page about the City Hall predicament. What I want to know is it really true that we would lose $80,000 from the mayor's court by giving it to Willoughby? I know they have to charge us, but is it really $80,000? It seems like an awful high figure, and I'd like to know where the News Herald got that information. The other thing is, I'm sure everyone on the west side is aware that our sewer bill went up because Euclid's price went up, and so I just wanted to know maybe the city can do something to help us out with that increase. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for public portion?
Cheryl Oda, 2960 Markham Boulevard. As far as the WISPR program is concerned, I believe that Lake County has quite a few programs for seniors. We have Council on Aging. We have, I don't know, there's some numbers that you call, like 411, 211 for different help. I'm sure if you talk to somebody at Council on Aging, they could direct you. So it isn't like we're leaving our seniors in a lurch. There are things available out there. It doesn't necessarily have to be handled by somebody directly in our city alone. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for public portion?
Chris Welsh, 38801 Chardon Road. Couple comments. As far as something was said earlier about only females being laid off, are there, correct me if I'm wrong, are there female police and fire? If I think there is, they're still there. There's none in the service department's eight guys anyways, so whatever. If there was, if a female wants to be in a service department, they can hire somebody. It's not personal, it's business. This is not a hired agency, but if the city's going to shut down for getting rid of a few positions, we should just take the Willoughby Hills sign off, and maybe Willoughby will take us on. It's like a bad neighborhood if we're in that bad of shape. When it comes down to it, if I need the police or the fire or the street plowed, nobody that takes notes at a meeting or answers a phone is going to come help me. It's just, I mean, that's the, they're talking about the nuts and bolts of this bit of the city. The majority of the city's budget is payroll. You want to save money, that's the end of it. People got to go. So, and it's not easy, but sometimes that's the way it is. It happens all the time. Whenever there's school levies, they were threatened laying off teachers, and nobody wants to lay off a teacher, but if you see where you lay off a custodian, well, it's just a custodian. In a city, he said if they're going to lay off the garbage man, it's okay to lay off the garbage man, don't get rid of the cops or firemen. I'm not saying these people don't deserve a job, but whoever wrote their I'm in a union, and whoever wrote the administration contract, they should have wrote my contract, because the city I work for would have laughed at it and said, get out of here, it's not happening. It's a little rich. Nobody gets unlimited vacation time, period, ever. But like I said, as far as court goes, if court's that big a hassle, send it to Willoughby. Just and do what the other gentleman said earlier. If you're only making $80,000 a year, you're making $500,000 in 6 months a month for writing tickets. But that's just that's another story. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for public portion this evening? Going once, going twice.
My name is Mike Profeta. I live at 2941 Lamplight. I came here not really to say anything, but I'm compelled after hearing all these people. Did you deliver a balanced budget?
Yes.
Do we make money from court, the city? Yeah. I think it's in the tune of $1 million a year. It's $1 million a year that we make. Right? And another $390 from this other guy, too, right? Possible. What's the plan to make up for that money? Do you answer questions or do I just talk?
Council has the opportunity, as does the administration, to respond during unfinished business.
So how do you plan to make that money up? Do you have a plan? Can you answer that? Did you really spend $80,000 on your campaign? And does that show fiscal? Does that show fiscal responsibility, which is now displayed in our city? And that's the only look I get. What's that mean? I've seen you do that a couple times. I'd like to see the text messages between you two while the message that was being delivered by the mayor.
If you want to see my phone, you'll see there are no text messages during this council meeting.
I saw the communication there.
Mm-hmm. Imagination sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else for public portion this evening? Then I will close public portion at 7:51 p.m. I will respond to a few of the residents' questions and concerns. To our neighbor on Bishop Road, we certainly will be speaking with our police chief to make sure that the mayor's promise is made good and that there's improved traffic enforcement for safety purposes. This is one of the reasons why council has prioritized our safety forces in the budget. We haven't had the coverage we've needed in this city for some time, as we've seen our fire and police departments cut over the last decade. And while they've made heroic efforts, and I think our individual police officers and firefighters have done remarkably, there's a limit to what any one person can do, and sometimes they do need backup, they do need more folks, and that's part of the reason why council has allocated more money to safety forces this year and has authorized appropriations of funds for more police and more firefighters. Mr. Nick Teen, unfortunately, has already left. I will say it's not anyone's place to tell another person how they feel. I certainly respect his passion, but my mother expressed genuine concern and fear to me after his altercation with her at the polls. I'm grateful to Councilman Fiebig for calling the police, as Mr. Nick Teen noted, and they were very good about calming him down so that everyone was able to go forward safely. But I'd remind you that passion to one person can be very frightening to another, and I obviously love and care about my mother very deeply, and that was a bad experience for me as well. And I would just encourage Mr. Nick Teen to recognize that his passion may be misinterpreted. While he may mean no harm, telling people fear itself, I'm not sure what that means, but my mother was fearful of him, and I hope that we can have a safe and respectful environment here. Criticizing people for their expressions is certainly not part of that. I will say, let the record reflect that, you know, the mayor has worked for Mr. Profeta in the past. We do know your relationship to the mayor and the city, and we understand your strong friendship with him, but this is not personal. This is about what council has done to try to reinforce what the residents have asked of us as we've gone door to door, as we've asked for their votes and they've asked for our votes on the issues they care about. I have heard time and time and time again, why hasn't my road been repaved since Mayor O'Ryan was in office? I've heard time and time and time again, why isn't there more police enforcement? Why don't we have more firefighters? Our population's growing. And when I ran for council, I can only speak for myself, I promised that I would make roads, police, and fire my priority. And I made it very plain and clear that any budget that I would pass would, number one, be balanced, and number two, would make those priorities. And as one resident noted, any city is principally payroll. That's our cost. And if we're not going to raise taxes, if we're not going to borrow money, and I certainly do not support borrowing money or raising taxes, it's not sustainable in the long term. The only thing you can do if we're going to allocate more funding to our police, our firefighters, our service department, and roads is to allocate that from the administration. That's all that's left. And those are difficult choices, but that's what our residents have put us here to do, to make the tough choices. And I certainly agree with Mrs. Bing, and saying that we have to be creative and collaborative and working on applying our budget and our limited funds to the best use of our residents, saying you'll shut down this building or shut down this service just because you don't get the budget you want for it is not leadership or management, and it won't work. And I would simply say there are many people in this city who are eager for positions of leadership. If anyone at this dais, whether they be a member of council or the mayor, doesn't feel that they can work within our budget or do the job, you can always step down. If it's not something you're capable of doing, step down. But if you're ready for the challenge and you're serious about working together, let's do it. We have the strictures of our budget and the limitations of our resources. It's a tough job. If you're up to it, let's do it together. If you're not, we all have the option of letting someone else take our place, and it's pretty clear there are a lot of passionate people who would like to take a leadership role in this city. So I think there'd be no shortage of people to step up to be mayor, no shortage of people to take any of these seats on council if someone doesn't feel up to the challenge. But I would reiterate that as we make these difficult choices, they are hard for everyone. And some people are quiet, some people are loud, some people are respectful, some people are not. But in these chambers, we have to take special care to defend the viewpoints of those with whom we disagree, because it is so important that every resident feels safe and welcome in speaking. So would any other member of council like to respond in unfinished business?
Mr. President.
Councilwoman Pijmo.
I worked on a lot on the budget, and so I'm familiar with what positions are remaining and what was changed. And I think that it's being a little bit misrepresented that all these positions are being eliminated. What we have is the equivalent of one full-time person in the mayor's court, which is the same as was there in 2010, and was the Performance Audit Task Force at the time said that that was too much and that we should invest in technology to reduce labor costs at that time. The finance department will have a full-time finance assistant and the part-time finance director. The building and service department will have one part-time clerk. The recreation department was budgeted for 29 hours a week of a part-time recreation coordinator, and that $13.35 an hour, I think that's pretty good for a part-time job that has some flexibility to it, and I see no reason why we couldn't find a qualified candidate. Perhaps the person who's currently serving in that role would be interested to continue doing that. And before 2011, there were no community center monitors ever. That position was created in 2011, so I'm curious if we absolutely have to have them to keep the building open, what we did before 2011. In the police department, we have one full-time police executive assistant, a community service officer, and eight dispatchers. And we also have one full-time fire department secretary. So these are all the people that will be working in our administration. I find it a little bit disappointing that our chief executive, given this challenge, would say it's impossible. As a chief executive, it's his duty to advocate for our city as the employer and do what's right for our residents and the city, even sometimes when that's difficult and it is it involves laying off people that he cares about. So sometimes that's what a leader, a chief executive, has to do. And I would hope that he would step up and try hard to make this work, and I think he can. I know he can, because he has handled layoffs in the past. So I know that he can do this, and he can do a very good job with it. And then lastly, I'm really a little dismayed to hear that city officials have been telling people that our community center will be closed on Election Day. That is highly unethical, maybe a crime, because it is discouraging people from voting and possibly interfering with the right to vote, which is a fundamental right of all of our residents who are eligible to vote. And I find it very disturbing that government officials would just say, oh, it's closed and you can't vote. I'm sorry, our residents can't exercise their fundamental right. I'm sorry, that's council's fault. I'm sorry. If I was really concerned that our residents couldn't vote, I would do everything in my power to make sure that community center was open, whether I'd open myself and sit there all day, set up the chairs myself, and make sure that our residents could vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Pijmo. Anyone else for unfinished business?
Yes.
Mr. Howell?
I just have one question, I think, for Mr. Berkacek. Over the last, I don't know, however far you back you want to go, the last 3 years, has our debt increased?
Over the last 3 years, it's gone down.
How much do you know offhand?
Offhand, I don't have those figures with me, but over the last 10 years, the general obligation debt is down about 80%, and the SIR debt is down about, I think, 50%.
Thank you.
I would just add that over the last four-year period from 2013 to 17, which is the last full year, our debt actually decreased from 15 to about 10 million, just around to the closest million. So our debt's gone down by about a third when you consider all debt, sewer fund debt, all obligations. So we have worked hard to be fiscally responsible in the city. Councilwoman Micah?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to comment on the appointment of a new law director. We did receive information in our emails, which was last Friday the 19th. The documents we received were so large, and I don't know the particulars, probably not in the proper file form, a zip file or whatever, that our council president was unable to access those records over the weekend. So now we're to the beginning part of this week, and we're looking over applications, references, job history, personal cover notes, lots of information to go through. If we wanted to do our due diligence, which I plan on doing, I'm going to call the references too, as well as speak to the applicant himself, which I've already done. While we want to appoint a law director in a timely manner, and that's of the utmost importance, we don't want to just randomly slap somebody in there without even talking to them and meeting them and having the opportunity to interview. I don't know anybody who would really hire somebody without actually interviewing. If you have done that, please talk to me afterwards because I'd like to hear how that experience was. But we do.
You're out of order, Mr. Miller. Let the record reflect. Thank you.
We do, you know, have every intention. We have a work session scheduled. We have an executive session scheduled to meet with Mr. O'Leary, and we're looking forward to working with the mayor. He's confirming and, or excuse me, he's appointing, and we are looking to. In all the things that we need to do to be in the position of confirming. Thank you.
And I would follow on by saying that our council president has invited Mr. O'Leary to join us at the next council meeting for executive session on May 10th so that all of council will have an opportunity to speak to Mr. O'Leary and get a better sense of his credentials. In the past, when the mayor has asked us for immediate confirmation, council has voted to do so. We might recall the Bobby DeSanto fire chief issue, where we were told that the vetting was complete and done, that he was the most qualified and prepared candidate, and council, on the mayor's word, did vote to approve Mr. DeSanto and waive the three-reading rule on the mayor's written request to do so. That turned out to be imprudent, given that his resume was fictional and that he had not actually been vetted, as council had been told. And so I think it's only responsible that we do our due diligence. Mr. O'Leary could be the greatest lawyer in the history of mankind. It's something that council has an obligation to confirm. And I certainly want to know if Mr. O'Leary has, in fact, gone through the process required by our charter and by our ordinances, that he has been fully vetted. And I want that personally confirmed, given that when we've had that represented to us in the past, it hasn't been the case. But I think that everyone on council simply wants to do their due diligence, and we'll have an opportunity to meet Mr. O'Leary in person at the next meeting. Anyone else for unfinished business? Mr. Fiebig?
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple of random comments over some of the discussion that we've had, and so I wanted to listen to what everybody else had to say. I'll try not to repeat, but to Mr. Miller's point, the council needs four votes to approve a department head. So, and also to comment on Ms. Grady's point, when are we going to work together? So, you know, we found this out on Friday, and then the mayor sent us an email saying, you need to have a special meeting of council to confirm this person immediately. That's not working together. That's threatening. That's not working together. And apparently you knew about this for 2 weeks now, and you never brought it up to council. You never said, I've got somebody, I'm vetting him, here's his name, nothing. We just get 60 pages emailed to us on a Friday with no heads up from you, nothing. That's not working together, Mr. Mayor. That's not working together. And to that point also, we read in the News Herald your plan about you want to shut down public buildings, you want to shut down a mayor's court. We read about it in the newspaper. Mayor, that's not working together. That's not in good faith. That's not what an executive does with his board of directors. You know, putting it out there publicly, if there's some issue, why don't you try to keep Willoughby Hills out of the headlines for all the wrong reasons? Does that sound familiar?
Right.
Doesn't it? And here you are suing the city, getting headlines, saying you're going to shut down the community center for voting. I mean, this is not beneficial to our businesses in the community, to our residents, to our property values. You need to work with council. It's a fact of life here in this community. There's a council and a mayor. And in this process, you need four votes. So I'm asking you, as I have many times before, to work with council on this. Don't demand that council does whatever you tell them to do. That doesn't work. Threats don't work. Who else said that? You did. You said that threats don't work very well, do they? Well, it doesn't work very well. The other point that I think has been somewhat lost in your propaganda that you seem to be putting out there is that why aren't you excited that we're hiring more firefighters and paramedics? Why haven't you been touting that to the community? Why? This is what people want. Why aren't you touting what roads we're going to pave this year? Why have you not told your engineer to go out to bid 3 weeks ago, a month and a half ago? Like, put together your proposal, prepare it to council. Have you done that yet? We've got roads to pave. We're at the end of the cycle for bidding. You haven't told him and you haven't presented to council what roads are on the agenda for this year. We should be planning for next year, the roads that we're going to pave. I hope you're going to do that soon. I talked to Pete today and asked him, and he said that, yeah, he'll get on it shortly here. But, yeah, we're at the end of the cycle. We're losing the window of opportunity. And this is under your watch. Okay, remember I've told you the buck stops there, right there. This is you're the mayor. You work with the council. We set the budget. But you're the CEO. You manage here. You manage this place. We give you the budget to work with. This is what you have to do. We give you the mandates and say this is what the residents want. We speak for all of the residents. For right or wrong, we speak for the residents, and they want the roads, police, and fire as their priorities, not secretaries. Okay? So you've got to work with that. You had 3 or 4 weeks that you knew these layoffs were coming. You could have posted those jobs weeks ago. But here on Tuesday, with only a week left, you've posted the jobs. That's not effective. That's not effective. And to say, I'm going to shut down the city, well, our city is a fire department, it's a police department, and it's a road crew, and they operate 24/7. And there's great people there. And they're dealing with this stuff saying, the mayor's saying he's going to shut down the city. Meanwhile, they're out there patrolling our roads, rescuing people, saving their lives, fixing the roads, fixing ditches and storm sewer, and they've got the CEO saying we're closing the city. It doesn't create a good atmosphere here, sir. It doesn't. And it comes from you. We as a council, we voted, if some of you that have been following, we voted to bring a union lawyer so he can negotiate these issues that your secretary's union had brought to the table here. And you sent a threatening letter to that person. And they said, hold on, we don't need this. Forget it. We're not going to do this. So we provided you, Mr. Mayor, with the opportunity to hire an expert in the field, a well-respected union lawyer, an expert in the field, and I don't believe you gave us any reason for that other than you didn't pick him. I haven't heard any specifics about, oh, he's not impartial, he's overpriced, I don't know, nothing. There were three different people. We chose one collectively, as I understood that process. And you sent a threatening letter. Council appropriated the funds for it. You sent a threatening letter. They backed away. So who is representing the city? Where are you getting your legal advice right now in the union matters? And I'll give you an opportunity to answer that.
Are you done?
Where are you getting? I'm giving you an opportunity to answer the question about where are you getting the where are you getting your union labor negotiation advice from right now?
Finish first. Come on.
Oh my God! Answer the question.
Come on.
I will recognize Mayor Wager if he would like to respond to Councilman Fiebig's question.
Well, first of all, I want to respond to the community center voting. It's open for the voting and will accommodate all the people that want to vote on the 8th of May. The flags, they're going to be, they have a pulley on the top of the pole. They're jammed up right now, and the one at City Hall, the one at the community center, and the one at the memorial will be fixed now that the weather is good. They have to use the bucket truck of the fire department to fix it. So as soon as those get untangled, we can do that. The legal advice, I don't have any legal advice because your acting law director picked the people, and it was all illegal. It was deemed illegal on the 2nd of April, and that's it. Right now, I don't have any legal representation. That's why I'm asking you to take some time out of your schedule instead of setting a meeting 10 days from now. I asked you 3 weeks ago for four names each of people you would consider for law director. I didn't get a response from anybody except Janet Micah. She said, oh, I knew Jim Leary. He seems okay, but that's all I got. Why didn't you answer?
Mr. President?
Mr. Fiebig?
Just make note that we did receive an email from you that said you can provide us with three names of individuals for a law director, three names, not four, and we had 3 days to look at that. And you know, it's first of all, it's not, you know, you have the appointing authority, so I would think first of all that anybody that I might recommend you'd say no to. So
who knows?
So, and then that's been true. I mean, I've suggested a gentleman for our Planning and Zoning Commission, which there's been a position that's been vacant. And you told me, you're going to wait to see who else appoints, who else wants somebody, or who else. He'd be a great person. But because I suggested him, you're saying no. So let's talk about that. And that's aside. Okay, that's fine. If you want to be like that, that's okay. But 3 days for me to look for a law director?
You have to have somebody in mind.
No, I don't specifically. No, I don't. I don't. But if you want me to do your job of finding somebody, I will. If that's what you're asking me to do. But I need more than 3 days to do it. And I'd need to advertise for it. I'd need to put the feelers out far and wide. And I don't think it was a serious offer, to be blunt. I don't think it was a serious offer. You know, you had a group of applicants that applied to the city, and I started to go through each of those. That's what I spent my time on. That was people that had applied, that had responded to either word of mouth or was there one ad in the News Herald one day? Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, so there's one ad in the News Herald for one day for a law director, and we got 10 resumes. So I was reviewing all those. And remember those resumes, 3, 4, 5 sometimes pages. And then you do a little bit of digging on each one of those. I spent a lot of time on it, right? So there are some people on that list that I would like to interview. And if it's okay with counsel, can we call somebody to come in on May 10th also? Would that be okay?
No, I appointed.
See? Did I make my point? If there's somebody on that list who I think is completely impartial, who's not connected to somebody in this environment of you've got to have the same law director or his branches, you know, that have been in here for 20-some, 30 years, it's time to get away from that. We need a completely impartial. That's the problem we had. This person became completely partisan and lacked impartiality when dealing with issues of the city. He kind of forgot that the client is Willoughby Hills. The client is not the mayor. He doesn't work for the mayor. He works for the city of Willoughby Hills, this entity that we are all a part of. This is our community. And by the way, as an aside, you said you made the point, maybe it was a verbal slip, but you said that your secretary got the grant. And I'm pretty sure you meant the city got the grant. Because somebody who fills out the forms and gets that, it's for the city. It's not for her personally. And I'm sure that you didn't mean to say that, because that would be completely, completely wrong. As far as somebody to, I think we touched on that already about, the previous way that we had the community center. Back when we both began our service here in the community, we never had community center monitors. You know, we had a janitor, and maybe we should go back to that. Somebody who sets up tables, unlocks the door. And, I've heard from people that have said, maybe at the fire department or the police station, if it was 6 a.m., 8 a.m., whatever, somebody needs to get in there, they'll go unlock the door. It's not a big deal. It's a key and a lock. You can open the door and let people in. A lot of communities let a resident even sign out a key. We do that at the Grange. It's another public property. Are you going to close that? No, right? You're thinking about it.
You have a multi-million dollar building over there. You have artwork in there that's worth thousands of dollars. You have to protect it somehow. If you don't protect it with monitors, the people don't clean up. They don't do things. Laura, did you review the contract of the administration unit? Union, did you read the part how layoffs and recalls work? Apparently not, because you don't know and how to create jobs outside the scope of what's in the contract. No, you didn't. You just cut.
I did read the contract, and the bumping rights are about the employees, not the positions. And now, Mr. President, if you don't mind.
Councilwoman Pijamo.
I think that let's talk about that union contract. Let's talk about that union contract. What you're describing, that the city has to shut down, sort of sounds like a strike, which is actually prohibited by the contract. In fact, the contract says that, if I can find it, it's long. It says, the union shall cooperate with the employer in continuing operations in a normal manner and shall actively discourage and endeavor to terminate any violations of this article, which is an interruption of work in the city. So, the union can't stop the city from operating. And, in fact, if you go to the last part of the contract, back here, it says there's a long part about management rights, and it says you know, nothing impairs the right and responsibility of the city to determine matters of inherent managerial policy, which include but are not limited to areas of discretion or policy such as the functions and programs of the public employer, standards of services, its overall budget, utilization of technology, and organizational structure, direct, supervise, evaluate, or hire employees, maintain and improve the efficiency and effectiveness of governmental operations, determine the overall methods, process, means, or personnel by which governmental operations are to be conducted, suspend, discipline, demote, or discharge for just cause, or lay off, transfer, assign, schedule, promote, or retain employees, determine the adequacy of the workforce, determine the overall mission of the employer as a unit of government, effectively manage the workforce, or take actions to carry out the mission of the public employer as a governmental unit. I mean, I think, you know, it's a very valid change in the mission of our public employer as wanting to make sure that our fire department is fully staffed and that our infrastructure is getting taken care of. We have a slope failure over on Dodd Road that we could have seen coming for a long time. It's been happening for a really long time. That road's been needing to be paved for a very long time, you know, but here we are. We're in almost an emergency situation because we haven't been keeping up with this stuff. So I think that, you know, we're so, you know, it just seems to me that you're very focused on protecting your workforce, and I appreciate that. I really do. But, you know, we, again, have to look at the needs of our city, and we have to do what's right for the city and make these decisions for the residents and make sure that we're investing all our taxpayer dollars into the services that our people need, like police, fire, roads, and to a lesser extent, recreation. Those things come first, and then we can look at what makes us more comfortable, what makes, you know, what are the extras. So so that's that. And then I want to address something you said about the lawsuit, your lawsuit against the city. And you said that the judge said that we can't hire Joe Gross or that Steve Byron is illegal and unlawful for hiring Joe Gross, but that's not what the judge said. The judge said that ordinance, he disagreed with the legal reasoning of that ordinance only in terms of having the council president serve as acting mayor for purposes of enforcement of that ordinance. The judge did not say and never said that council can't hire an attorney for certain issues like enforcement of a budget agreement, prevention of labor disputes, or, you know, handling ULPs or other controversies related to labor relations. So that's it for now. Thanks.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask, did you read the union contract before you recommended it to council?
I did.
And did you read the provision that said that the city retained the right to change personnel, including layoffs? Why did you misrepresent the contract to us tonight, then?
I didn't.
I'm not sure how you square your comments with the contract.
Mr. President, if I don't think it's true, but if this contract was so terrible that it would cripple our city in this situation, I think that we need to think about who negotiated the contract. You know, Mayor, if the contract is so devastating to our city right now, you negotiated it. So knowing that sometime we might need to make these layoffs in term to make sure we keep these safety, our safety forces fully staffed and our roads and infrastructure attended to, it's a terrible contract then if this is the result. I don't think it is the result. But if it were, if you were correct that this is the result, it's a terrible contract for our city. Wouldn't you agree?
You make that statement like it's unlimited vacation. Where do you get that?
I didn't say that. It's based on the it's vacation. It's unlimited vacation if the department head approves it. So whatever vacation the department head approves. So it could be if the department head approves it, but it isn't necessarily unlimited vacation.
It's not unlimited vacation, but you continually state unlimited vacation. It's not.
I didn't say it was.
Mr. Mayor, actually, one of our residents shared that point. But under the contract, it does say that additional vacation days, without any limit placed on how many additional, are approved in the, I believe the words are, quote, sole discretion of the mayor. So actually, there's nothing in that contract to prevent you from approving as many vacation days as you choose.
Well,
correct?
No.
Well, Mr. Mayor, let me ask you a quick question, Mr. Mayor. Before your last election, did you share with council that you would not buy yourself a new car at taxpayer expense, yes or no?
Yes.
And what did you do after you were reelected?
I bought a car.
are
because you don't always keep your word, Mr. Mayor. You just told us I won't approve unlimited vacation. What happens if you change your mind? I'm the president of council for this meeting, and I always hold the floor and assign the speaking. And you are out of order a second time, Mr. Miller.
I didn't even say a word, Mr. Plechnik, so maybe you ought to pay better attention.
He's out of order now.
Out of order again. So, Mr. Mayor, I think you can forgive us for not taking you at your word. Because in your own words, you've just explained how you have stated directly to council on the record that you would not do something, and then weeks later, you did exactly what you promised you would never do. So it's not that I hate you, Mr. Mayor, but I have had personal experience with you where you've emphatically told me, I will not do this. I will not buy myself a car at taxpayer expense, and then you do. So it's not that I hate you, Mr. Mayor. I've just learned that you sometimes change your mind, even when you emphatically promise that you won't. So I think we need to read the contract for what it says, not what you promise you will do with it. Okay. Any other unfinished business? Hearing none, on to legislation. Madam Clerk, would you read our first ordinance?
An ordinance to ordinance number 2018-5, an ordinance to approve a memorandum of understanding with the Willoughby Hills Boys League in order to provide sports programs for the youth residents of Willoughby Hills and declaring an emergency.
This will remain on third reading. On to ordinance number 2018-24.
An ordinance accepting the final quote submitted by Elside of 3773 State Road, Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, for the total amount of $36,700 for Phase 1 of the NOPEC NEC grant window and door project and declaring an emergency.
In speaking with our council president when she informed me she was ill this evening, she shared she felt that as little notice as council had been given with this particular legislation, we need to review it, make sure the exhibits are complete and correct. I don't think anyone disagrees with accepting a grant, but it's not time sensitive to our understanding. And so unless if a council member motions otherwise, I'd recommend this remain on first reading. Then on to new business. Do we have any new business for council?
Mr. President, a few weeks back, I met with a representative of the Cleveland Restoration Society at the Grange to discuss plans for the Grange's future in our city. And so I have talked to the council president and recommended that we review this issue in council of the whole to start talking about what to do with our historic Grange building.
Thank you. Any other new business this evening? Mr. Fiebig?
Mr. President, as I mentioned I asked Mr. DeFranco to come up with the plans for going out to bid. He indicated he will. I believe that I expressed what I've heard in the past from our service department that Keneally and Red Fox were two priority roads and that Somrac and Jenny would be two others that should be considered for this. Another would be Bates, and if that would fit in the budget after your estimates are done, and that Dodd Road would be started for next year, we'd get that going because there's some funding that we'll be receiving for that. So that if we need to have a service meeting, we will. If you need to discuss anything in further, I'd be glad to have that if you need it.
Any other new business, Mr. DeFranco?
Yeah, no, that is correct. Keneally, Red Fox, Jenny Lane, Somrac, and then Bates Lane is intended for this year. We're working on a grant application for Dodd Road. We haven't gotten it yet, but I'm optimistic.
That's good news. I would just share that as we talk about Mayor's Court and we look back to the audit committee, I was approached by one vendor because they'd been referred to me by a council person in a neighboring city that provides varying services in terms of ticket writing and making as much of that process automated as possible. That company is Blue Line, and I will forward the packet of information that they gave to me. I met with them briefly. It shared I'm not the chair of safety, but I was happy to take any information and forward it to the rest of council and the mayor. I'm not recommending this particular vendor, but I do think the recommendations that Mr. Osenar made to us, 10 years ago?
Seven
years ago, still hold a lot of validity. I mean, there is technology now that allows you to write a ticket with one click, no further inputs. The entire process is automated. I'm not recommending any one vendor, but it does strike me that we're very much in 1990s technology, and maybe a lot of the problems that you're experiencing in Mayor's Court and your inability to work with the staff might be a result of the fact we haven't updated our technology there. The audit committee report said that a $50,000 investment would have been sufficient at the time 7 years ago to automate a significant amount of the process. Technology's only improved since then. And once again, I'm not here to recommend any one solution or vendor, but I think we need to be open to exploring those issues now, given that we do have this challenge of working within our means in the budget. And so I will forward that information to you with no blessing, endorsement, condoning, or condemning, other than I think we need to actively start reaching out, particularly the administration, to look at how we can really improve the ticket writing process. I don't like getting a ticket myself. It's one of the worst experiences you have. But the last thing you want to hear is that the city spent half or more of the money from the ticket on writing the ticket, as opposed to at least putting it towards safety. So hopefully we can be more efficient going forward, and we won't have the need to heavily staff a mayor's court or go to Willoughby Municipal Court if we can be a little bit smarter and take the recommendations that Mr. Osenar and others that you appointed shared with us years ago.
Mr. President.
Mr. Fiebig.
There's also the a fairly substantial issue about technology in our dispatch center. As you know, we're facing technology upgrades to our 911 system, and the strain on any municipality budget, any organization that uses a 911 system, as, for example, texting. You might want to be able to text if you're in a situation to 911, and right now our system just doesn't handle that. So we've had some ancillary discussions about the dispatch center and an offer that the Lake County Dispatch Center would be willing to look at taking our dispatch services, and I think we need to have a serious discussion about that. And if that's a significant savings to our city budget and it improves service to our residents, for example, currently you call in a cell phone, which probably a good percentage of people call 911 from a cell phone. The current technology that we have here cannot figure out where you're calling from, whereas an upgraded system will. So not only would we have to upgrade that system, but also our telephone systems to go along with it. We're looking at $300,000, $400,000 in 1 year, and then ongoing technology upgrades. So we might want to consider that. I think there'd be some significant savings if we looked at that. And also the issue of personnel. Hiring dispatchers is challenging. Hiring firefighters is. Hiring police officers is. They're challenging because they're difficult jobs. But it's what this organization does. So any way that we can do it better, easier, with better end results to our users, the residents here, I think we should look at that. So if you're willing, I'll have a safety committee meeting to discuss it in full. And
you can have a safety committee meeting. We'd like to invite Chief Warner. He's the head of the EOC, and he gave us a proposal last week. The chief and I are looking at it, and along with the chief from Wade Hill, because it's we do their dispatch also. So it looked very promising, but we're looking at the 5,000-foot level right now, but we'll bring it to council. When you plan your meeting, we'll invite them, and we can have maybe a work session to talk about it.
Mr. President. Mayor, would you share that packet, the proposal, with me, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'd actually ask that the packet be shared with
all of council
so that we can review in advance of your safety committee meeting. And I'd also share that I recently had the opportunity to sit down with Sheriff Dunlap and his chief deputy and talk about this issue as well. And one other point about the cell phones is that when you currently call 911 from a cell phone, it immediately routes to the county dispatch, and they actually have to route it back to the city's dispatch center. So that's a disadvantage we have. That's moments lost in a crisis. And so it actually would mean faster response times just from that alone whenever anybody calls from a cell phone. We're also very familiar with this center because one of our full-time firefighters, one of our lieutenants, is a part-time dispatcher for county dispatch. So we already have city people who are working there and really familiar with the system. And my understanding is Lieutenant DeMattia is very much an advocate of the technology and the services that the county provides. So I think there's a real opportunity to reduce the cost to residents here, improve services and improve response times, which would really be a win-win-win and improve safety for all of us. Anything else for new business? Hearing none, our next order of business is for the good of the order. Anything for the good of council? I would certainly say we hope that our council president, Nancy Fellows, recuperates quickly. While I hold the gavel, it is heavy, and there is only one true president. Don't let people say we don't have a female president, because we do. For the good of the community.
Mr. President.
Councilwoman Pijamo.
I would just like to thank all the sponsors, volunteers, and attendees of the third annual Purses for a Purpose event that was held last Friday, and it raised, with all of that generosity, it raised over $22,000 for the Edison Elementary students and teachers and staff. So thank you very much for everyone who helped out with that.
Anyone else? Mr. Howell?
Just wanted to make mention that the PO was signed for the new benches for over at Ramish for the bleachers. And so hopefully those will come in time for this season, or at least some of them hopefully will be done. I'm not sure what the status is on delivery. I think the PO just got signed. Mr. Fiebig, is that correct?
PO for benches.
For the bleachers for Ramish?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't recall off the top of my head.
Okay.
Are we talking about Romish?
Sorry?
Benches for... Oh, yes. I remember seeing that come across my desk. Yes.
So hopefully those more than a week ago ordered, yeah. And hopefully it'll be most, if not all, of them installed so that our grandparents and parents have a place to sit. And also just a reminder that the there is an art gallery reception on May 11th that's currently on the schedule. Thank you.
And, Mr. President, the National Police Week starts in May, May 18th, and it's a time when you can wear blue, you can use social media, and there's a particular light Northern Ohio blue. So just to remember, especially tonight as we started our meeting, the officers and that put their lives in harm's way pretty much daily, I think it's important to remember and recognize and it's a good opportunity for us to raise awareness during that time.
I would just say since our last council meeting, we lost our former First Lady, Barbara Bush, and we certainly remember her fondly. May she rest in peace. And for my part, I would say may she go with God. Anyone else for the good of the community? Well, hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn, and there is no discussion on that motion.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilwoman Pijamo and a second by Councilwoman Janet Mica to adjourn. Any roll call?
Lenz.
Yes.
Mica.
Yes.
Pijamo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Council is adjourned at 8:38 p.m.